Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Smashy Business Show. Today is Friday, May 9th, 2025. I'm Abdul Majid Awan.
And I'm Wardah Ahmed, and we've got a great show for you today. Today, we're going to discuss how the U.S. has officially backed Qatar's Syria salary plan, and we officially have a number, which we will tell you later. Secondly, Bahrain's XRG, a subsidiary of ADNOC, is eyeing billions in U.S. investments with Trump's support. Thirdly, profit rises, but share price has fallen as Amar has reported its strong Q1 2025 results. And finally, Emirates Airlines has become the most profitable airline in the world. And due to that, they have rewarded their staff with a 22-week bonus.
First thing first, the United States has approved a Qatari plan to fund the salaries of Syrian civil servants, signaling a notable shift in Washington's sanctions policy towards Syria following the end of Bashar al-Assad's rule. The initiative, revealed by Reuters and confirmed by multiple sources, allow Qatar to transfer $29 million per month over 3 months, potentially extendable, to support Syria's public sector.
Now, the payments will be distributed through the United Nations Development Program following a U.S. Treasury exemption from long-standing sanctions imposed on the Syrian government. Now, the exemption marks a significant moment of engagement with the new leadership of President Ahmed al-Sharaa, who has replaced Assad after years of civil conflict.
Importantly, the U.S. exemption excludes funds for Syria's defense and interior ministries, a decision reflecting ongoing Western concerns over military influence, particularly from groups like Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, which also believe to still wield powers in parts of the country.
Now, the salary funding could result in a reported 400% wage increase for more than 1 million Syrian civil servants. Now, this comes at a time when the war-torn nation faces massive economic strain, infrastructure collapse, and an ongoing humanitarian crisis.
The Qatari government had delayed the transfer until the U.S. provided clear sanctions guidance. A formal letter from the U.S. Office of Foreign Assets Control is expected soon, clearing the way for disbursement.
Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia and Qatar have jointly repaid Syria's World Bank debt of $15 million, restoring the country's access to international financial support. European nations are also reportedly easing their sanctions faster than the U.S., signaling divergent Western strategies in the post-Assad Syria.
Yeah, everything is about U.S. or Trump today, actually. There's a lot of news going on because he's coming to the Gulf. So this one also came out. But yeah, very interesting. I think, again, Syria. And Syria is getting a lot of support, I think, as far as all the conflict-related countries. Lebanon, we don't see a lot. Syria is getting a lot.
I think it's also because of its strategic location, Magic.
Yeah.
Because, look, I do think that, you know, Qatar, they're trying their best to help the country stand again by, you know, whether it's repaying their World Bank debt or financing, you know, their employees who work for the government. But I also think it's a very smart political game here.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are so many countries that surround Syria that have a role to play in any possible war that might be triggered. So I think making sure that Syria is strong, making sure that Syria has strong borders, I think is a part of that plan.
And moving on, an $80 billion investment firm from Abu Dhabi, XRG, is making headlines as it positions itself at the center of a major UAE push into the US economy. According to Bloomberg, XRG, a spin-off from ADNOC, basically a subsidiary, is preparing large-scale investments in energy, AI, chemicals, and data infrastructure.
Now, backed by Bahrain's financial strength, XRG is in active discussions with leading Wall Street banks, including Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. Now, the firm plans to double in size over the next decade and is seen as a cornerstone of the UAE's $1.4 trillion U.S. investment strategy.
That strategy aligns with President Donald Trump's economic priorities as he prepares to return. He's in the White House. Trump is expected to visit Abu Dhabi next week, signaling stronger economic ties between the UAE and the U.S.
XRG is seeking concessions from the U.S. administration, including access to restricted NVIDIA AI chips. That's why we saw His Highness Sheikh Tahnoon in Washington recently, tariff exemptions and fast-track merger approvals. Now, Abu Dhabi's stability is viewed as a strong asset compared to regional rival Saudi Arabia.
The firm is led by ADNOC CEO and UAE Minister of Advanced Technology, Sultan Al Jaber, His Excellency. Wall Street sees XRG as a valuable new client, especially amid slower global deal activity.
XRG's board already includes major figures like former BP CEO Bernard Looney and Blackstone's John Gray. Now, the firm will soon begin deploying capital into high-value U.S. sectors, aiming to be a strategic force, not just a financial backer. Majid, why do you think they included them in the board? I think that's extremely interesting.
It's just because of their experience dealing with such big deals. BP, British Petroleum, is one of the largest companies dealing with petroleum products. Then Blackstone, again, after our bigger friends, Blackstone is one of the most prominent asset managers in the world. So I think they started with $80 billion for XRG, and XRG as a whole wants to double at least $160 and $200 billion by the end of their first 10 years. I remember it started last year in quarter four. We got the announcement that there is a company which will be called XRG, and it's going to be a spin-off, kind of a subsidiary, will work with ADNOC and under ADNOC. But recently, I think you remember, we talked about it, that His Excellency Sultan Al Jaber was in US for the oil man's Davos, and where he said a very interesting thing. Usually Trump says, make America great again. And there, Sultan Al Jaber said, make energy great again. And following that news was that XRG, it's an Abu Dhabi company, but they're planning to list in the US. So they will go for an IPO and list in the US. So it's like a step into the US where they want whatever investment in terms of energy, AI, infrastructure, we saw four or five categories. Abu Dhabi will use this company to do all of that. So it's a very nice formal step into the US economy in the energy sector, in the chemical sector. So yeah, Abu Dhabi is not staying in Abu Dhabi. It's going everywhere.
No, it's not. Yeah. And now for some good news, Dubai-based Emaar Properties has posted a strong set of results for Q1 2025 with revenue, profit, and sales all surging compared to the same period last year. Now, the developer reported revenue of 10.1 billion dirhams, up 50% year-on-year, and net profit before tax rose 27% to 5.4 billion dirhams.
Property sales hit a record 19.3 billion dirhams, a 42% increase over Q1 2024. Emaar's backlog, the value of properties sold but not yet recognized as revenue, climbed to 127 billion dirhams, signaling healthy cash flow in the pipeline.
Now, the UAE-focused subsidiary Emaar Development launched 12 projects and achieved 16.5 billion dirhams in sales. Now, it also delivered revenue of 5 billion dirhams and pre-tax profit of 2.8 billion dirhams, marking a 49% annual growth.
Other business units also performed well. Emaar's shopping malls brought in 1.5 billion dirhams in revenue with 98% occupancy, and hospitality revenue surged 1.1 billion dirhams, buoyed by 82% hotel occupancy.
Now, international operations saw 2.8 billion dirhams in sales with strong demand in India and Egypt. Now, Emaar's recurring revenue streams, including malls and hospitality, rose 11% to 2.6 billion dirhams, contributing 37% to total EBITDA.
And apart from all of that, all the numbers and all the profits and the upbeat earnings, Emaar's share price dipped actually 1.10%. yesterday, when the markets DFM, Dubai Financial Market, closed. And it's a sign that investors may have already priced in the strong performance or are reacting to broader market dynamics. It's very interesting. I don't know why the market. We talked about Disney yesterday. We talked about how their share prices went up when they announced the Abu Dhabi Disneyland. Whenever you give out a good news, your stock prices always show. Yesterday it fell down. The only thing that I saw, the common sentiment on X and any place social media where people are talking, is because they have such a big backlog, of money which is stuck with people who will eventually pay the 127 billion, I think, or million. But it was 127. But that number, I think,
Wait,
is the problem.
Wait, who is that money with? Once
because it's sometimes people book projects and then they have to keep paying in installments. So you are building, but you keep taking money from people. And sometimes people have delayed payments and all that. So it's a big backlog that has been created. A lot of people were pointing to that, that usually that backlog should shrink. Like they should, people should owe less money to Emaar. Now people owe more money. The backlog has increased. So that is why I think a lot of people were like, okay, let's pull out. But another point that that was at the end of this, that a lot of people had predicted it already. So because of that, they had bought a lot of Emaar properties shares and the price went up. So this was kind of a correction now because they were expecting good things.
Or magic. You know what it could also be? I think it's because of the fact that I know we say this all the time, but the real estate industry, there is so much backlog there. There are so many people in that industry. And I think it could also be the fact that Emaar has so many competitors now. You know, we're
share prices usually don't fall because of competitors. But the good thing is, yes, and it's actually a good thing to have competition. They will increase their quality. The competitors will increase their quality. You talk to anyone in Dubai, there's like three major people who you will go to for luxury or high-end property. Emaar, the Mac, and the third one is those guys.
Bin Ghati
is ultra luxury, but like the top developers are these. The Mac is there. What's the name of the third one? But yeah, apparently, so these three hold the largest share of the market, and then everyone's there. You have the Danube, you have everyone. So it's good. They should have competition in a very competitive market.
Is it Shoba?
Shoba Realty. Completely forgot Shoba. How can I forget it? I think none of my friends or people I know live in Shoba.
You know, actually, I apparently imagined Shoba is actually owned by someone from Kerala.
Yeah, it's what I've heard.
And I find that so interesting because if you take a look at it, we have Emaar. You know, it's led by Muhammad Al-Aqar, Emirati, Damak, you know, the Sejuanis. And then you have Shoba, which is, you know, led by an Indian businessman. I think that's so interesting.
Yeah.
But Shoba is beautiful, by the way. I have family who live there.
Oh.
It's absolutely amazing.
So, yeah, I always forget Shoba because no one lives there. No one I know, at least, in Dubai who lives there. But, yeah, it's, again, ultra. It's not ultra-high luxury like Bin Ghati and the new Chelsea residences. By the Mac, those are ultra high wealthy. Like you go in with 8 or 10 million dirhams and then you get a studio or one BHK hardly. So these guys, again, competition. I love competition because then every person who is in the market knows that if I don't provide quality, the other one will, and people will start going there.
You know what it also is, more so than competition, Majid? It's the fact that, you know, there are more homes that are needed in the UAE. There are more homes that are needed in Dubai. Can you imagine that, you know, me and Casey were discussing this yesterday. In Q1, 1,000 people move to Dubai every single
day.
1,000 people. I mean, that's why I was getting to work late. Now it's all making sense.
Yeah.
But, like, really, like, think about that. I mean, it's mind-blowing that there are 1,000 people who are moving to Dubai every single day. It's literally become the new America, where everyone just wants
now
to move.
Now you have
here.
The Dubai dream.
Exactly. Yeah. You literally have the Dubai dream.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, developers like Shoba, Damak, Emaar, they're so necessary, especially in the time that we live in, because we need more homes.
Yeah.
You know, how are we
need
gonna
a lot more homes. There's at least a deficit of 300,000 homes right now in the UAE overall. So, yeah, let's see sooner or later. See, they have plans. They have urban master plan for the amount of people that are coming in. They predict the population overall of the UAE will go up. Dubai's population will go up by 2030, by 2040. So they have so many plans in place. We live and breathe here every day, so we usually don't see the difference which is being made or created around us. But when projects complete, we actually see. So this Production City Road, I'll give you a small example because I come every day from that same route. I come every day for the last like 9 months. In 9 months, I saw a bridge being built, completed. So my travel time from 16 to 18 minutes has come down to 7 to 10 minutes. So I saw that bridge being built. And then there was a turn on the right, which was being which was broken a little. They were building something or doing something. Now that turn has become better as well. So the minute I waste on that broken road is also... So every day you do it, you don't feel it, but every day they're doing something to make it easier for you.
I just got more information on the founder of Shoba. They call him PNC Menon.
Nice.
And basically, he grew up in Oman. You know, he was a businessman. He grew everything from Oman, and then he expanded it into the Gulf. And
nice.
He is, yeah, he is. He was born in Kerala, so I think that's it's a beautiful cultural layer there that we're getting.
Okay, the fourth story. Sorry, I rolled a little down, but we'll start the fourth story. It's about the Emirates Group, and everyone knows Emirates Group is one of the biggest groups, flying powerhouses in the world. Let's just scroll back a little quickly. Just bear with me. But Emirates Group and Emirates Airline have become the most profitable group, an aviation-led group, and airways in the world. So they announced their strongest financial results ever, reporting a record-breaking performance for the 2024-25 financial year. Total group profit before tax reached 22.7 billion dirhams, up 18% year on year, while revenue climbed to 145 billion dirhams.
Now, with Emirates Airlines, this milestone marks the first full financial year in which the newly introduced UAE corporate tax has been applied. After accounting for the 9% tax rate, the group still posted an impressive profit after tax of 20.5 billion dirhams, reaffirming its position as the world's most profitable aviation group.
Yeah, and in recognition of this extraordinary achievement, the Emirates Group has awarded its employees a bonus equivalent to 22 weeks of salary. I hope Augustus Media becomes the largest media brand in the world and we get a 22-week salary bonus as well. But yeah, the company's workforce grew 9% during the year, reaching a record 121,223 staff worldwide.
Now, Emirates Airline alone posted a record profit of 19.1 billion dirhams as passenger numbers rose to 53.7 million and cargo operations expanded. Now, operating cash flow reached 40.8 billion dirhams, while fuel costs declined to 32.6 billion dirhams, making up 31% of total costs.
Dinata, the group's ground handling and service arm, also delivered solid growth with revenue up 10% to 21.1 billion dirhams and profit before tax rising to 1.6 billion dirhams. Dinata handled over 3 million tons of cargo and launched new operations in key global markets.
And now Chairman Sheikh Ahmed bin Saeed Al Maktoum phrased the group's resilience and leadership, stating, "We enter the year ahead with excitement and optimism. Now, with $14 billion dirhams invested in fleet, tech, and infrastructure, Emirates Group is preparing for even greater heights next year." Now, with this story, Majid, you know, it's that saying that goes, who controls the air controls the power dynamics in the world. And this is why the UAE is so great now. They quite literally are taking on every single industry and doing it extremely well.
Yeah.
I mean, it's completely crazy. I think with the arms race, you know, it doesn't necessarily exist in terms of name, but it's there and they're leading it.
The good thing is Dubai, usually like 10 years ago, just let's assume 10 years ago, people didn't understand the importance because it was the center of the world even then. But the business hubs were America and Europe on one side of the planet Earth. And on the other side, Asia was still growing. China was still a power at that point also, but India was growing. Pakistan, to an extent, was doing good. So all that Asian region and the European region, there was a very big financial inequality. Europe and America were great. Asia was like underdeveloped level. And Middle East wasn't a center because everyone was flying this side. Now, Asia grew. India became the second largest growing economy in the world. China is the largest growing economy in the world. And the capital flow has somehow come from both sides to the middle. So Dubai, not only because they're in the center of the world, have become important. They're in the center of the world, have the capital, and have the capacity to fly people out on both sides. So it's so many variables where Dubai becomes a hub the central hub for everything, for travel, for business, for everything. That is why the traffic that we see on Dubai Airport, DXP, that also contributes to this. Because it's not only people coming to Dubai, it's people taking connecting flights from Dubai to the west and then connecting flights from west, from center to east. So people are literally flying everywhere from here. So that is one thing. And Emirates is already a very good airline, service-wise, money-wise, to be honest. If you pay 200 or 300 dirhams more in comparison to any other flight, you will feel the difference. So you pay 200 less, you'll have to go through a lot of things that you don't have to go in Emirates. The food is better, the service is better, everything is better. The planes are better sometimes also.
It really is. Yeah. And that's a wrap for today, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning into the Smashy Business Show. Make sure to follow us across all social media channels at Smashy Business and stay ahead with our daily newsletter. You'll find the subscription link in the description. Enjoy your weekend.
This has been a Smashy Business Show, a Smashy Business production, part of the Augustus Media Podcast. Network. A big shout out to our 1.6 million monthly listeners. If you're one of them, thank you so much for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care. Bye-bye.